Okay, well, if you guys have known me for very long, you know that I'm not real good about preaching a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day, or a Christmas message on Christmas, or whatever, that I just kind of do the best I can to just teach whatever it is that, you know, I feel like the Lord might be leading on. So tonight's message isn't really a Christmas-themed message, but it's one that I think really touches our community pretty closely tonight, as far as just knowing a lot of the different hearts and knowing the different struggles as we're all just plowing away over at the prayer room and giving our a bunch of attention over there, and then experiencing family life together at Foreigner Fellowship and all those different components. Just there was a message that just was stirring in my heart that I just felt was a good time for it, even though it's Christmas. And so I've entitled the message "A Fight for the Balance." And this concept of fighting for the balance really has two components that I want to touch on tonight, and that is knowing Him intimately, and then serving Him diligently. And these two things seem to be at odds with one another so often in our lives. We have this this tendency to go real heavy on one and negate the other, or to go real heavy on the other one and negate the other one. And that the Lord's desire for us is that we would fight for a balance in this way. Last week, we were discussing God's ability to work in all circumstances for our good. And no matter what the season, the Lord's desire for us to be submitted to Him and for Him to be able to minister to us. And with this concept of Him being real and have His active work in our lives, even in the worst of circumstances, it's important that we recognize that His desires for us are multifaceted, that He's got a lot of things that He wants to do in us, do through us, experience from us. That it's not like when we were saved into the kingdom and brought into Christ, that now there's just one thing that we're supposed to do. My one mission in life is this thing. It's actually very multifaceted, and it includes a lot of different aspects of growth and maturity and the way that we give our heart to Him and the way that He expresses His love back to us. There's a lot of different things. And what I've found that is it really comes down to these two concepts, and that is to know Him and then to serve Him. And so what I wanted to do tonight was to talk about this, because I think that we're living in a culture where there's a lot of the church that really has the revelation of one of these two components. And then there's another, you know, grouping of the church that really has the revelation. I mean, they've really got their hands around it. There are some congregations, they get the serve thing like no man's business. I mean, they are committed to serving in the kingdom, committed to doing the works of Christ, of ministering to the people, and of evangelism and of reaching out and helping the poor. There is such a driven mission in much of the church, and that's good, that's healthy. Then you got another side of the church that's really committed to knowing Jesus and worshiping Him extravagantly. I've been a part of some different meetings of believers and fellowships and congregations where there was such a focus put on the man Christ Jesus, of knowing Him and of understanding His heart and of giving ourselves in an intimate relationship to Him. And what I've found is it's really difficult to find a balance of both, because the tendency is to let that thing swing one way real hard and then not really give a lot of attention to the other side, or swing the other way real hard. And so my hope tonight is to help us with some balance, that as a congregation and as individuals, we'd be able to have some right perspective about both these things, and that we wouldn't pit them against each other. We wouldn't choose, well, I'm going to be one of those guys that knows Jesus real well, as though that has to be in opposition to one of those guys or gals that really serves Him with diligence. And so what I want to do tonight is, one, remind us that we're in a fight. Because I think, as I just, you know, just hear stories and know what's going on in our congregation and in our hearts. I think many times that we don't realize that this struggle is actually going on in our heart, soul, mind, and in our lives. And that many times we're not even aware that we're somewhere in between these trying to figure out, you know, where we land. So one is to remind us that we're in a fight. And then second is to identify where we're at in the balancing act, and maybe even to identify our imbalance as individuals and to see what it is that the Lord might be working on in this season. Tonight, because we're doing Family Sunday, it'll be a little bit of an abbreviated message. So you won't have to bear with me long, but I really feel like this is something that the Lord wants to speak to us as a fellowship, because He is so zealous about both of these points, and we're going to look at some scriptures that really talk about that. If you want to, if you've got your Bible, we'll also put it up on the screen. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 3. Just a short little snippet. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. I want to look at this. What we're going to do is we're going to look at several different verses, and what I want to do is I want to take some of the scriptures that the apostles and that Jesus we're giving the church as foundation of our lives in Christ and talk about how these scriptures describe the balanced equation of having both of these elements at work in our life simultaneously and not one real heavy and the other neglected. And so here we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says he's praying for them. And he's sincere. He loves the Thessalonians, and he's got deep roots there. He helped plant that church and get that thing started. He loves these believers with just an undying love. And when he's praying for them, he's desiring that they would grow up into maturity. And this prayer describes one aspect of what that maturity looks like. He says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into two things, into God's love and into Christ's perseverance." Well, so let's decode that for a second. So we pretty clearly, into God's love, Paul's praying that the believers would grow in the love of God, in the love of who God is, in God's love for them, that they would grow in it, that Christ would direct their hearts, that their hearts would be guided, would be set, would be pointed in the direction of how God's love operates, the knowledge of God, that intimate relationship. He says, I pray that God would direct your hearts into His love. And the second is into Christ's perseverance. What in the world does that mean? The entire life and work of Jesus was perseverance to do the Father's will, to serve the Father, to accomplish the Father's will. He says that He did nothing without seeing first what His Father was doing in participation. When you're talking about Christ's perseverance, you're talking about the persevering work of the kingdom. That Christ came to preach the kingdom, to bring the kingdom to earth. And when that comes down to it, is serving the Lord in various ways. And so here you've got the Apostle Paul saying, oh, Church of Thessalonica, I want you to grow up in a deep, intimate relationship with God and also in the perseverance of the works, of doing the work of the kingdom, to serve Him in His purposes. You know, this interesting and fun dynamic about the kingdom, that God lets us be the hands and feet of Christ. It's very rarely, not never, but very rarely when you look at the whole spectrum of things, it's probably less than 1%, where God just does something. Most of the time, He's using people. It's been His way all throughout Scripture, is that He uses people to accomplish His purposes. It's still Him doing it, but He's doing it through submitted servants in order to accomplish the work of the kingdom. I mean, it's like the gospel didn't just preach itself when Jesus was here. Jesus opened His mouth and spoke it. In the first century, the church didn't just happen. The apostles actually had to do work to make the thing land. And that's how the kingdom gets done. And so to see this whole concept of Paul praying for the church of the Thessalonians, that they would persevere in the work, in the diligence of serving God and in growing their hearts in the love of God. Second, let's pull up James 2, a passage you guys are very familiar with, I'm sure. James has this desire where I think James is trying to teach the church a lot about balance, actually. And in his short epistle, There's a lot of information, James 2, 17 through 19. There's a lot of information that James is giving the church in that book about how to balance their lives, how to live for God, what living for God actually looks like. And this passage, I just want to take a minute. It says in James 2, 17 through 19, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have deeds. James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Here's James really dealing with the concept of the believer who is committed to knowing God, committed to faith in Christ, committed to walking out their life in Christ and having a faith-filled walk. They're committed to it, but they're not committed to the service aspect of the kingdom. They're not committed to the doing the works of the kingdom and in serving the Lord and in accomplishing His purposes. They're not committed to it. And James just takes it head on and he says, you're imbalanced. That's not wisdom. What's wisdom is to have both faith and then the deeds that accompany faith. To have a revelation of who God is. To have a deep relationship with Him. And then to be serving God by serving people. By accomplishing the kingdom purposes. It really comes down to the two aspects of God's heart. The one, you know, main piece of God's heart. And that is that God desires a family. As we've done a series on, you know, the family of God. God desires a family, but He wants to use the family of God to expand that kingdom, to build it. And so here James just goes right at it and he says, listen, the way that we're to live our lives together, absolutely, have your faith in God. Have your relationship. Know who He is. Walk with Him and love Him. But then accompany that with works of the kingdom that are an expression of that love, that are serving Him. He says, that it's so important that we don't be one category or the other, but that it's not enough to just say our love, but to walk it out. I appreciate James on that point because he's coming so strong on the issue that I think really does address a large, you know, group in the body of Christ that says, we just want to love Jesus. We don't really know about all that service stuff. We just want to be the Mary of Bethany idea, you know? We just want to sit at His feet and worship Him and love Him and just sit before Him. And James says, that's good. Do that. And then go get some of the works of the kingdom done as well. Next verse, Matthew 22. You guys know this one. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And this is Jesus being asked really about just the foundational teaching of the kingdom. Like, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And even in that hour, a follower of Jehovah. Like, what does it break down to? And so the Pharisees are approaching Him and they're asking Him, listen, if you've got all this wisdom, do us a favor and take the entire New Old Testament and break it down into one statement. What is the most important commandment? What is the thing that is the most important thing we're supposed to do? And Jesus, He's just so sneaky because they ask Him for one thing and He refuses to give them one thing. He refuses. He gives them two. Now, He gives them in order, but He refuses to give them only one answer. Because that would be an imbalanced response. And so Jesus' response to what is the one most important thing is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He says, really, if you want to take the entirety of the kingdom, you can break it down into two concepts. And they're related. Love God and then love people. Love God. Have that intimate relationship. Love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your devotion. Give yourself to Christ. Know Him intimately. You've got to have a fiery passion, a knowledge, a working relationship with Jesus Christ. So important, so crucial. But the second is like it. He refused to just give part of the answer. It would have been imbalanced. He says, and the second is like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do you love your neighbor? And then he tells the parable about how he loves his neighbor, and it's the whole, you know, concept of the guy on the side of the road who's, you know, in a mess of a shape. And he says, you know, all these people were passing him by, but it's the guy who stopped and served the man, who served him, who gave to him, who helped him, who strengthened him, who did ministry to him. He said, that's how you love your neighbor. So when it comes down to it, Jesus says, if you want to wrap up the entire Old Testament, it comes down to you finding a way to not pit these two things against each other, but for you to be one who is devoted to knowing God and is devoted to serving God by serving in the various ministries that God has on the earth. You know, I am such a one-track mind kind of a person. I probably have the worst time of anybody in the room on balance. Man, I struggle on balance. I'm really good at going hard on one thing, but man, when it comes to trying to give 50% of effort in two directions, I struggle. I'm actually a lot better at going hard this way for, you know, 6 weeks and then turning around and going hard this way for 6 weeks. I really struggle with this balance thing because of just an inability to focus. It's really just some of my own issues. And I think that we all maybe have some different reasons why, but I think that Jesus was giving this teaching as a foundational, maybe even an exposure of our human weakness. Like, I know you guys. I know it's so hard for you to think about two things. I know it is so difficult because you just get to run in one direction, and I know that then you have this tendency to neglect the other. I don't want you to neglect the other. I want you to stay in the fight. I want you to, your whole life through, retain a fight for the balance. That you would be in a fight in your soul, in your mind, that you would be in a fight to be able to love the Lord, intimate relationship, knowledge of God, and serve Him in His kingdom. Get the kingdom works done. Don't be an unproductive believer. You know, don't be an inactive Christian with your faith and with your service and with your efforts and your energy and the time that you have. Don't fall into one of the other category. I just look around and go, man, that's a hard lot. Because our tendency is we run so hard one direction, and then we realize, we look up sometime later and go, oh my gosh, I've totally neglected. You know, I've been chasing Jesus with such passion, I've neglected His people. I'm really not serving in the kingdom anywhere. I'm kind of like a couch potato Christian. And on my couch, I'm not eating potato chips. I'm opening the Word and like chewing on the Word of God. I'm devouring the knowledge of God. But man, I've been unproductive in my faith. And then the other is to get so busy working for Jesus, which He asks us to work for Him. We get so busy in the daily grind of the activities and the do this and do this and do this. And there are things that the Lord really wants done. We get so busy that we look up and realize, I have been so busy working for you. I haven't spent any time at your feet. I have not given any attention lately to allowing my heart to grow in intimacy. And I think, friends, that it's a fight our whole life through. I think that this very concept is one that we've got to fight for all the way through, because just when you've got it, when you get a little bit of balance for a week, then more responsibility comes, and you've got to choose to either turn down that responsibility or embrace that responsibility. And as you embrace that responsibility, it might take away from your intimacy. And then seasons come where, man, you are just so burnt out from all the work and the do and the do. And all you want to do is, you know, sit in your prayer closet and just cry and love Jesus. And the tendency then is to neglect the work of the kingdom. And I think we've got this fight that we've got to press on through. I'm just going to skip down a little bit for the sake of time. Some tips to keep the balance. So, okay, great. We got it. We're imbalanced. Probably all of us. We're all either in one category or the other, trying to find our way out of it to find a way to find some balance where we've got, you know, a little bit of both going on in our lives. Let me give you just some simple tips to try to keep the balance. And these are some things I try to do. These are some things I've learned from some folks that you know, I think do a pretty good job of finding their way on this. One is regularly assess yourself and see where you've wandered off to. I don't think it's enough to do it once a year, but maybe you use New Year's as one of your markers. Maybe you do New Year's, your birthday, your best friend's birthday, Easter. I mean, maybe you set up like five of them in a year where you go, Lord, have I wandered too far one direction or the other? Have I found myself neglecting one to be able to give more attention to the other? So just regularly assess and reassess where you've wandered to. Second part, this one's a little toe stepper. Decide in your heart that you're not okay with neglecting either one. Scripturally, we don't have permission to neglect either. And what we've got this tendency, again, it's kind of built into our church culture. We've got this tendency to say, I'm all about this one, or I'm going to be all about this one. And that's great to really have a gung-ho attitude about one, but we really need a gung-ho attitude about both. I want to encourage you, wherever you're at on this pendulum swing, decide in your heart that it's not okay with you to be imbalanced. Decide that it's not okay for you to neglect one of these things or the other. Again, neglecting intimacy so you can work real hard for God. Don't do that. But don't neglect the work of the kingdom in order to be able to purely pursue Jesus. Don't neglect either. And decide in your heart that you're not okay with that. Second, pray. I found this one to probably have more power on my heart than my sheer will. And that is to pray. I try to pray often, you know, Lord, draw my heart closer to you. Do you know what a mess I am down here? Draw my heart. You listen to prayer. I'm a real weak person. Draw my heart. You read the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with language of the psalmists who were like the main worshiping Jesus guys. The psalmists crying out for God to draw them, reveal himself to them, soften their heart. Make them more vulnerable to his Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, regularly pray. Lord, draw my heart closer to you in intimacy. Draw my heart closer in friendship. Second, pray for vision, strength, and a willing heart to serve him. To pray for it. Say, Lord, you know, I'm really starting to get kind of good at this whole intimacy thing, just knowing Jesus and loving you and getting a schedule where I've got time set with you. I'm getting okay at that. Lord, give me vision for why in the world I want to serve you. Lord, when I read the Word, let the Word of God jump out at me and speak to my heart about the importance of serving you in your kingdom. Give me vision for it. And then, Lord, give me strength, because oh man, I don't want to get imbalanced the other way. I mean, it's not like I just want to be in a constant fight of swinging that pendulum back and forth as far as I can. Like, Lord, give me strength and a willing heart to serve you. I pray that a lot, you know, especially when the responsibilities get heavy and I'm just like, oh Lord, it'd just be easier to go hide in a cave and get away from all this insanity. As I say, Lord, give me vision, strength, and a willing heart to serve you. I think prayer will be a great ally to you, is for you to not just recognize it, but then to pray about it. Lord, help my heart to draw my heart closer to you, the intimacy message. And then Lord, envision me, strengthen me, and give me a willing heart to serve you. And then the last thing, and I think, friends, this one's the key. Your schedule doesn't lie. Is it scheduled in your life? Both. Do you have scheduled times to connect with the Lord? I love trying to talk to the Lord while I'm driving in traffic, but sometimes traffic irritates me and I find myself upset in traffic instead of praying to God in traffic. It's because I don't want that time in traffic to be my devotional time with Jesus. That's kind of like extra. It's good. I like extra. Do you have times in your schedule, daily, weekly, all that, where it's connect with Jesus time? Turn off the phone, turn off the responsibilities, open the Word, where you're just, it's in the schedule. I found that if we don't schedule it, it's not going to happen. We're too busy. We've got so much going on, and that doesn't have to be bad. But what it does mean is if you've got a lot going on, and by a lot going on, I mean you have any semblance of family, any semblance of work, any semblance of church life, if you got all three of those, you're already busy if you don't have a hobby. I mean, throw a hobby in there and you're toast. I mean, it's like, if you've got even a few of these things going on, you're busy. And if you don't have these things scheduled into your life, they may or may not happen. Schedule doesn't lie. And so I want to encourage you, schedule prayer times. This can look a lot of different ways. Prayer times, Even devotional worship sets up at the prayer room where you're intentionally engaging. Somebody's up there just doing a Devo set for 2 hours and you're intentional about being in that room and just worshiping the Lord, allowing your heart to open up before the Lord, you know, just speaking to Him and talking to Him, singing those worship songs. Intentional times to connect with Jesus in your schedule. Non-negotiables. I do this. Jesus, I love you. And then take advantage of every available extra opportunity as well. But if it's not in your schedule, it's probably not a foundational piece of your life. Next point. There's a lot of different ways that scheduled time, just connecting with the Lord, can look like. Reading the Word, singing to Him, conversational prayer walk. Something when I was single I used to do a lot was I'd just go on a walk. I'd do that 3 nights a week. I go for a walk, and the whole time I'd just be praying to the Lord and talking to Him and just connecting. Just, He's my friend. He's your friend. Just to have a connected, intimate relationship with Jesus. Second point about your schedule not lying is if your schedule doesn't include responsibilities where you're actually serving in the kingdom, it may or may not happen. You may or may not do the nice, you know, deed every now and then. You may or may not find yourself in service here or there. To actually have written into your weekly schedule responsibilities where you're like, you're on the hook. Like, Jesus, I serve you in this way every week. You know, service can look a million ways to Jesus. There's so many ways. Anything that could be considered ministry is service. You know, anything where you're ministering to people intentionally, you know, taking people out to coffee, ministering, you know, to the homeless, serving up at the prayer room, leading a small group, any way where you've got intentional time where you're ministering to people, that's in your schedule, where you're doing a ministry that helps the kingdom move forward. Some of the behind the scenes stuff. I love those that serve at the prayer room in ways that nobody ever knows and nobody ever cares. But as a result of their service, things happen. Just so appreciate John. Never gets any credit at all. And every week he's moving things around and setting things up at the prayer room. Nobody ever comes and thanks John, man, thanks for setting up the chairs. But I do. Because I really appreciate that service because it helps the kingdom move forward. Because that means people can got, when they come over to the prayer room, they got a place to sit, they got things to do. Service can look so many ways. Your service to the Lord doesn't have to be a teaching ministry. It just doesn't. But it does have to be something. Serving the Lord in some way. Using the skill sets and the gifts and the bends that the Lord put in your heart. And if you've got any questions about what that can look like, ask somebody. My point would be, there are endless ways service to the Lord can look. Just don't neglect it. Find a way to write it into your schedule. Write it into your schedule could be, you sign up for a certain responsibility, or you commit every Tuesday night, I'm going to go out and do this, and I'm going to minister in this way, or you know, Sundays, I'm going to have people over my house, and I'm just going to pray for them and bless. There's so many ways that this could look. My point would be, if it's not in your schedule, it'll happen about a tenth as much as you think it's happening. It just won't happen that much. And so that's my admonition there, is that you put it in your schedule somehow. Write it in that you've got times where you're intentional about serving the Lord. And then take every available opportunity along the way. Serve a little here, help a little there, do something nice. That's great. Get the kingdom moving forward. But be intentional. This twofold concept, having things set in our lives, and then in addition to that, taking opportunity. Both with our walk in devotional life with Christ, and then also in the ministry of service. Well, just to overcome a couple of common lies. Lan, if you can come on up. Overcoming just a couple of common lies. These things aren't pitted against each other. And so I think, you know, for the most part, you know, in the room, that's not really a big issue. That you're like, no, man, these things, one's the devil, the other's God. I mean, I don't think anybody's really on that. But what we wind up doing is when we start thinking about our time allocation, and when we start thinking about giving ourselves in two ways instead of one way, we start to have this stirring in our heart where we feel like to do one is going to cost us the other. And we need to actually find a way to be able to bring some balance. Second common lie is we don't earn His love through either. It's not like if you spend an hour reading your Bible, God likes you more. I mean, that's silly. And if you think that way, let's grow out of that. Because God is not like more in love with you because you spent 2 hours today instead of 1 hour. Like, oh my son, I love you so much more that you gave me 2 hours of your time. It's not how it works. It's not about earning his love, it's about enjoying his love. Amen. It's not about earning his love, it's about experiencing it. Second point, you know, on that same concept, is that by serving him diligently, you don't earn one bit of his love. It's not like the believer that's all servant, God's like, oh my gosh, I am so impressed with that individual, I love them more. They gave me 20 hours this week of service in the kingdom. They moved things forward. Man, they got people saved, and they did this, and they served behind the scenes when nobody was looking, and they did all this stuff. I just love them more. That's not how it works. His love on the cross for us, expressed in the death of Christ for us, was the greatest expression of his love. He can't love you more. He can't love you less. He loves with a perfect love. It's not about earning his love. But there is some earning that happens. So let's talk about that real quick. One, by pursuing his love, you really do earn an alive heart in God. You earn that. Like, if you don't pursue the love of God, your heart will be kind of dull, boring, boo. That's not a good way to live. If you pursue Christ, if you're in a passionate pursuit of him, you really will earn something. Your heart will be more alive in God, and that is the greatest way to live. And you earn it. If you do this, your heart will be alive. If you don't do it, your heart will be dead. It's real simple. You earn something. It's not his love, but it's an alive heart. Dude, that's worth it. Earn that. Second point. By serving diligently, he absolutely, according to the word of God, by serving him diligently, he absolutely promises to reward you both in this life and the age to come. He promises it. It's God doing the one who's doing the promising. If you serve him, if you're faithful with little, if you serve him in this life, he says, I promise to reward you. I'm God, I promise to reward you. It's not that you get more of my love, but there are real rewards that he promises both in this life and in the age to come. And so, just as we're trying to find our balance here, let's try to escape some of those common lies and press forward. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have everybody stand. I want to do a time of prayer. Lenny, you can go ahead and just start strumming. I would like to have everybody stand and have a little time of prayer here. Again, my thought is, probably as a congregation right now, as a community, we're struggling with some measure of this imbalance. Each one of us, a little bit, or a lot of bit. I've been in seasons of both. Struggle a little bit, struggle a lot of bit. And so here's what I want to do. After a message like this, I really want to hand it back over to the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to us. So I want to spend a couple of minutes, do this time here just a little bit differently than how we normally end our service. Spend a time a little in reflection prayer. I'm going to kind of one point at a time just kind of talk some things through. I'd love it if you would just start a dialogue with the Lord wherever you're at. Just maybe bow your head and close your eyes, try to engage with the Lord and start to ask him some questions. Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. Maybe you pray that in your heart. Speak to me. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? Speak to me right now. In your mercy, help me to see where I'm at on this journey. Speak to us. Help me so that I can take steps towards you, the steps that you want for me to take in this hour. Just talk to him. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. And you pray this under your breath. God, create desire for you in my heart. Help me to love you. Help me to connect with you more. Help me to know what I can do to set myself up to encounter you and know your heart. Lord, help me to serve you with my life. Help me to be intentional with my time. Show me what changes I need to make. Holy Spirit, I pray for your ministry. You love each one of us. I know there are things you want to say to us about this fighting for the balance. I pray you'd speak to each heart, Lord. Take just another minute, just in silence. I'll stop praying on the mic for just a minute. Just ask the Lord. Lord, speak to me. Show me what you want me to do. Show me how you want me to respond in this. Speak to us.